Please take your copies of God's Word once again and turn with me to the book of Exodus, the second book in the Bible, chapter 20. We've been studying through the Ten Commandments, and we are now in the fourth commandment. Exodus chapter 20, we'll read verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let's bow together in prayer. Our God, we acknowledge that you are the creator of all things. We marvel as we think of that creation record, of the power of your word, the skill of your design, and how you worked all things out. Thank you, our Father, that we continue to enjoy the fruits of your labors. We acknowledge, our God, that in creation, you have set down your will for our lives. And we pray, our God, that we might be people who are very conscious of having a purpose as we live here in this world. We also thank you, our God, that as our Father in heaven, that you are a shepherd to your people, leading and guiding us. We thank you that when we are trusting in you, you supply our every need. You lead us into green pastures. You lead us to drink in those quiet waters. Please, our God, come and shepherd us today by your word. Feed us, our God, with the spiritual food that our souls need. Help us, our God, to get a drink from your word that will satisfy our souls and help us as we seek to live for you day after day. Our Father, we come expressing our dependence upon you. We need your Holy Spirit and pray that he would work in our hearts and get glory to your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When you study through the Ten Commandments, it's pretty easy to discern that the fourth commandment is the most controversial in our world today. When you look at society around us, it's obvious that this commandment is virtually ignored by everyone. No one seems to care what God has to say about the use of their time or how they schedule their week. It's hard to believe that we don't have to go far back in our society to find things very different. I well remember growing up in Toronto, and there were still blue laws in effect. Laws that govern the activities of people and businesses on the Lord's Day. There was actually a federal statute in Canada called the Lord's Day Act that was on the books from 1907 until 1985, until it was struck down by the Canadian Supreme Court. And even from that date until 1997, that's not that long ago, there continued to be a ban on retail shopping so that families could enjoy a day of rest together. Well, that was finally overturned as well. The moving force behind that federal statute was a league called the Lord's Day Alliance. This was a group of Presbyterians, Baptists, Methodists, and Anglicans who lobbied for a federal law requiring observance of Sunday as the Lord's Day. Now, at points in the life of this statute, as it was still on the books in Canada, it was a hotly debated issue. Whether you were for it or against it, everyone knew that this was an important issue in Canadian society. That obviously is all gone now. Who even knows that it's an issue? There is scarcely a remnant of that kind of moral conscience in our society. And you know it's an extremely rare thing to see a sign on the front of a shop closed on Sunday for the Lord's Day. Once in a while you'll find it, but hardly ever. What is even far worse than seeing the downgrade of moral ethics in our society is the fact that the keeping of a Sabbath day is all but rejected by most professing Christians. It's not just the world that has rejected the fourth commandment. By and large, the confessing church has done the same thing. By the use of one argument after another, those who claim to be the disciples of the Lord Jesus have rejected the idea that God has a claim on our times, on our time in terms of our weekly schedule. The giving of an entire day to the Lord has been replaced with the giving of a morning, or perhaps we could say the giving of an hour. Instead of one day out of seven given entirely to God, it might be 1 hour out of 168. Robbing God isn't just limited to tithing. While we mourn the gigantic shifts that have taken place in our society and churches, our greatest responsibility is to do something. Now, not in terms of political lobbying or criticizing other churches, but to make sure that we know what God wants relative to the fourth commandment and then give ourselves entirely to obey God. So here's our task today: to consider the basic duties of this fourth commandment and how we are going to obey God and honor Him. Let's begin then, first of all, with our fundamental duty. Our fundamental duty. This fundamental duty is spelled out in the opening words of verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day. That's the fundamental duty of this commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. It's almost so easy. People might ask, is that what God is requiring? Is that what people are so upset about? Is that what people have such a problem with? We obviously have to delve into what this word means, remember. What exactly is God calling us to do? There's nothing especially difficult in the word itself. It just means remember, as we would commonly use the word. The context in which it is used often bears the sense of remembrance that includes action. Let's look at a very clear biblical example. If you turn back a few pages to Exodus chapter 13. If we were reading through the book of Exodus, you would have found that in the previous chapter, there's the record of the first Passover meal in Egypt. And then the 10th plague that God brought upon Egypt, as God sent the destroying angel and all the firstborn of human families and animals died. And then there was the actual exodus out of Egypt. God brought that nation of probably about 2 million people out of captivity. 10, the institution of the Passover meal was given as a permanent part of the life of Israel before God. Exodus 13, beginning at verse 3. Then Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Today in the month of Abib you are going out, and when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. No leavened bread shall be seen with you, and no leaven shall be seen with you in all your territory. You shall tell your son on that day, 'It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.' And it shall be to you as a sign on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this statute at its appointed time from year to year." Now, very clearly, God is intending that the Israelites will never forget this great day of redemption when God reached down with his mighty power and he brought his people out of slavery in Egypt. And the Passover feast was intended to make them remember what God had done. This was to be a regular occurrence in the life of Israel, so that they would go back in their memories and survey God's incredible acts of power to bring them redemption. They were to remember what God had done. And as part of their memory, they were to pursue specific actions that would highlight that glorious deliverance. It was memory stirring action. So every year, when they came up to the Passover feast, they were to think and they were to go back in their minds, and then they were to celebrate using this meal. So it was memory stirring action. We often use this word remember with the same sense. For instance, a husband might say, "I've got to remember my wife's birthday." Now, what does that mean? Does that mean he simply puts an X on the calendar on the day of her birthday and, "Okay, I didn't forget. There it is right on the calendar." No, it usually means I've got to remember to go to the store and buy a card. I've got to remember to go shopping and buy her a gift. I've got to think about what kind of meal we're going to have, if we're going to go out to a restaurant or maybe have the family over or some friends, and what am I going to do about a cake? It's memory stirring actions. That's the force of this word that is being used here. That's what God is saying to us. He's calling us, remember the Sabbath day. It's a memory that calls to action. Now, just thinking about the memory, the thinking, clearly God, as he calls us to remember, is calling us to some special thinking relative to the Sabbath day. In other words, it's not just a day that is intended to happen for us. It's not simply the progression of the week that brings us to Sunday, the Christian Sabbath, and we wake up on Sunday morning and say, "Okay, it's Sunday, I guess I better get ready to go to church." No, we're to give special thought to the Sabbath day. We're to be thinking about it carefully. Now, as part of our thinking, we're going to go back to creation, as we studied it last week, to think about the institution of this day. And remember that God did all of this glorious work of creation in 6 days, and then he rested on this day, and he blessed the day. We're going to think about how that is to be the progression and model of our work week. Okay, I've been working for 6 days, and now God wants me to give myself to a Sabbath. That thought ought to be growing in our minds as we come closer to the end of our work week and prepare our minds for the Lord's day. We also ought to be remembering and thinking that this is a day that God has blessed. And so we come and we ask the question, what blessings may I expect today? Now, through the course of the week, we usually have the alarm going, or however you get up in the morning and you think, okay, what do I need to do today? On the Christian Sabbath, you ought to wake up and say, okay, what blessings does God have for me today? What can I expect as I obey my God in keeping this day and give myself to a day of rest? How should I be praying? What should I be asking God for as I prepare for this day? We need to be thinking as we remember. Of course, the original Sabbath day takes us back to creation. But for the Christian living under the new covenant, the Sabbath also takes us back to the day of Christ's resurrection. We haven't dealt with this issue yet, but we look back to the incredible new creation that Christ has instituted through his death and resurrection. In addition to the original creation, we celebrate the triumphs of Christ over sin and death. Just think about that. If we were just living in the old covenant, remembering creation, we would look back to what God had done there in those first 6 days. Think about what God did in his mighty redemption out of Egypt. But as believers under the new covenant, we look back to that first day of the week when Christ rose from the dead. And we think of all of the glories that were displayed in the accomplishment of redemption for us. And we ask the question, okay, how can I receive today the fruits of Christ's death and resurrection? Here's a day to think about the glories of the new creation. So we also need to be thinking about how we're going to keep this day. It's not a day to approach haphazardly, or a day to just fall into or fly by the seat of our pants to plan as we go. God wants us to remember what the purpose for the day is and plan accordingly. Though we may have done it hundreds of times, we ought to come to each Lord's Day with a set determination. This is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to honor God and keep the Lord's Day. Now, we've got a lot to remember. We've got a lot to think about. And before we leave the consideration of just this initial word, let's remember this is a commandment that God is giving to us. This isn't something optional, whether or not we're going to think carefully about the Sabbath day. It's not a matter for people who want to be a little more serious in their Christianity. This is a commandment that God has given to every one of us. Obedience, just like all the other commandments, is righteousness. Disobedience is sin and rebellion. So, are you going to be remembering the Sabbath day? Are you going to be giving yourself to think specifically about what God has done and what he wants us to do on this day? That's our fundamental duty, to remember the Sabbath day. Now, secondly, our specific action. A fundamental duty, now our specific action. We've already seen that this remembering that God commands us to do implies action. So we've thought about our thinking. What about this action that the remembering is meant to stir up? Again, the words are very straightforward as God gives them to us here. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's the action that is to govern all that we do on the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. as we remember, as we think about this day that God has given to us, the action is that in all that is done on that day, we are to keep it holy. Now, last week, we saw that this is to be a copying of God's action. When he finished his 6 days of creation, he rested on the seventh day. He blessed it and he made it holy. He consecrated it to himself. Now that is exactly what we are to do. And the words here are exactly the same as what we find in Genesis 2. We are to do what God did. He made it holy. We are to make it holy. Now, think again about the basic meaning of this phrase, to make holy or to consecrate. It means essentially to set apart for God, to take something that might have been common and to set it apart and give it to God. We find many examples of this in the Scriptures. For instance, if we think of this very scene at Mount Sinai, when God was speaking his commandments to Israel. Remember how God commanded that they would put boundaries up around the mountain. And nobody was to approach the mountain. No one was to go up onto the mountain because that mountain was set apart for God. It was made holy. No Israelite was to go up there. It was for God. The Old Testament temple was made holy. If you were to go to the city of Jerusalem during Old Testament days, there were lots of buildings that would perhaps amaze you, lots of structures, lots of houses. But there was one building set apart for God. The temple was designated as holy. It was consecrated to the worship of God. The Old Testament priests, they were set apart for God. They were made holy unto the Lord. In fact, Aaron, the turban that he wore around on his head, had a little plaque in front, holy to the Lord. God had taken the tribe of Levi and he had set them apart from the other 11 tribes in Israel. They belonged to him in a special way. Now, that making holy is also to be true of the Sabbath day in its relation to the rest of the week. 6 days of labor followed by a Sabbath day, and that day is to be made holy. It is to be set aside particularly for God. Now, you'll often find people objecting to the fourth commandment by saying, well, every day is the Lord's day. I don't just give him one day, I give him every day. Now, that sounds very spiritual, but you can't be more spiritual than God. If God says, give yourself to laboring for 6 days, and then take one day and make that holy to me, that is certainly the best plan that we could possibly follow. Now, I want you to notice that this is an action which the person desiring to obey God in this fourth commandment is going to be doing. It's not simply that we recognize God has done something. We are commanded to remember the Sabbath day, and we are commanded to make it holy, to set it apart for God. It's something that we're called actively to do. So if we're going to obey this commandment, we're going to be thinking, we're going to be remembering, lots of thinking, and then we're going to be doing something with this day. We're going to be making it holy. We're going to be consciously setting it apart for God. Now, this would be good to do every time we come to the Lord's day. Commit the day to God in prayer. Perhaps say something like this: Dear Lord, I know what you did in creation. I know that you have called me to copy you. And so I commit this day to you. Help me to keep it holy. Then we have to work through in our minds, how am I going to make this day holy? How am I going to give it to God? Now, Pastor Rich and I aren't going to hand out a list. This is how to do it. And these are all the things to do, and these are all the things not to do. It's what the Pharisees were doing in Jesus' day, and it was an utter disaster. You have to think. You have to take God's law, and you have to think. And perhaps you'll be asking for counsel. Perhaps you'll be looking at the lives of godly people around you. How do they do it? Praying over the issue. But you've got to think. I've got to remember, and I've got to act. And my actions have to be taking this day and making it holy. One of the obvious ways to keep the day holy is to enter into public worship. That seems to be the clearest intention that God had for this day. And when we look at the life of our Lord Jesus in the Gospels, we find him every day in the synagogue, gathered with God's people, committed to corporate worship. That's surely what God wants us to do. And when we survey the life of the early church, as described for us in the New Testament, we find the church gathering for worship on the Lord's Day. This is a primary way that we can devote this day to God by giving ourselves to him in public worship. But that only takes 3 to 4 hours if you come to all the services. And there are many more hours to fill. And God doesn't just say, take those 3 or 4 hours and make them holy. He's told us to take the whole day and make it holy. So what else can we do? How can we fill up this day in a way that will glorify God? Well, here is a day we can have opportunity to fellowship with other Christians. Through the course of our busy weeks, we may not have a lot of time to spend together. But we have all day on the Christian Sabbath day to be able to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ, to enjoy fellowship here, to open our homes in hospitality to our brethren, to spend these hours in a way that is glorifying to God and good for our souls. We ought to make sure that we use our fellowship lunches wisely. I've talked with a lot of you. You're really missing fellowship lunch. I really miss fellowship lunch. But we need to make sure that it's not just lunch, not just something that's sort of convenient so we don't have to drive home and spend the afternoon and then drive back here at night. It's not just filling in between the services. It's fellowship lunch. It's time to spend together as brothers and sisters in Christ, encouraging one another in the things of God, talking over the messages, exhorting one another in our discipleship after the Lord Jesus Christ. Making the Sabbath day holy can also be accomplished through personal devotions. Throughout the course of the week, our devotions have a more limited and pressured feature to them. Work is calling, school is calling, other responsibilities limit our time. But when we come to the Sabbath day, there should be a greater freedom in our Bible reading and in our times of prayer. We don't face the same time limits. We should be able to approach these privileges with more leisure. To sit and read and meditate on the Word of God. Don't you want to do that more as a Christian? Don't you want more time to be in the Scriptures and to be praying to God? You've got a whole day. Use it to be with the Lord. Use it to strengthen that relationship. We should not look upon Sunday morning as merely a time to sleep in. Perhaps you don't have to set your alarm as early as you do on the other days of the week. But the opportunity to spend time alone with God should be cherished and exercised. Having a shower and putting on clothes, I hope, isn't the only preparation you make for coming to worship. The prospect of time alone with God should be used heartily every Lord's Day. Of course, parents with children need to be very thoughtful about how they are going to keep the day holy. And you notice the commandment doesn't just come to parents. You keep the day holy. The command comes especially to heads of households and how they're going to direct everybody within that household to keep the day holy. Husbands need to make sure that they're giving their wives opportunity to enjoy a Sabbath day. While we may lay our jobs aside, a mother's job, well, you know, it's never done. And so a husband needs to be thoughtful and sensitive. How can I make sure my wife enjoys time alone with the Lord and getting ready for worship and fellowship with God's people? As children grow, there's going to need to be direction and helping them understand why this day is different from the other days. Teaching them that this is a day of blessing and giving parental instruction about what the family's habits and customs are, because we're keeping the day holy unto God. Now, we cannot expect that our unregenerate children are going to rejoice in a day given to God. But it ought to be a great teaching tool and a matter of prayer that as families go to church together, participate in worship together, have opportunities for greater discussion of spiritual issues, that God will use this and make this Sabbath day a day of salvation for our children when sinners enter into their true spiritual rest. Recently, our daughter Carrie put a post on Facebook. And she said, "I haven't been able to go to church because of my health for 3 years." And she said, "If you have the privilege to go, don't underestimate what God has given to you." And then she went on to say, "I remember on the Lord's Day, our house being filled with people." And she said, "We can rarely do that now just because of my sickness." Well, thankfully, that's not the case for most of us. We can come. It's not a great struggle to be here. We have all of the hours of the day. Are we buying them up for God? Are we using them in His service? Are we seeking to honor Him? Are we doing much good to our souls? The way we use the hours of the Sabbath day, by whatever means we do it, this word from God is to govern all of our actions on this day, to keep it holy. Now, one of the issues that will come to light as we look later at New Testament teaching is that the Sabbath day is intended by God to be a picture of heaven. The eternal state is the eternal Sabbath day. It's that final rest to which our weekly Sabbath now is pointing. And here's the issue. No one is going to love heaven who doesn't love the Lord's day now. If heaven is an eternal Sabbath day, and you don't really love the Sabbath day here, why would you enjoy heaven? Why would you want to be there with God if you get your hour or your couple of hours here and then, quick, it's out of the way and it's on with your life? Why would you want heaven? You remember David's expectation in Psalm 23 as he thinks about his life and how God is leading him through life as a shepherd and all of the troubles and all of the trials, and then his confidence. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David pictured heaven as going to church all the time. So why would you have a great expectation of heaven if you could easily skip church, or is it not that important to you, or you're glad when it's over, or you're looking at your watch, when's the preacher going to be done, when can we get out of here, when can we get on with the other things? Wow, it's a beautiful day. What other things can we do? Well, there are many legitimate things, but is there anything better than worshiping God? Anything that thrills your soul more than to think that God has given His Son to be your Savior? That the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross and shed His blood? Died and was buried and went into that tomb and rose again victorious on the third day, and that He invites us to come to Him for the forgiveness of our sins and acceptance before the throne of God, and He promises to give to us the gift of eternal life. Tell me, what's better in this world than that? And to be able to know God as a result and walk with Him every day, all the days of the week while you're working and laboring, and it's hard maybe, and you come home tired, and there are difficulties, but you're walking with God every day. And then you think, but the Sabbath day, I can give entirely to the Lord. And I can seek a relationship with Him and a walk with Him that's just not quite possible every other day. I hope the Sabbath day for you isn't a matter of drudgery. Oh, got to put my toys away, got to put my games away, got to put all these other things away, got to put my hobbies away, got to put my work away and just focus on God. What a blessing that is to the child of God. We ought to be saying, Lord, why only 1 and 7? Why didn't you give us 2 and 7? Well, that was God's wisdom. He knew that's what we needed. We needed to work 6 days and then give ourselves 1 day to the Lord. Do you look on it with delight? Have you received it as a gift? Are you working it out in your own life, in your family life? Are you remembering? Are you thinking? And are you keeping the day holy? That's not what I said. It's what God said. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God, your word to us is very plain. All of us know how to remember and be stirred to action. Certainly we can all understand what it means to take something and set it aside for God to make it holy. Help us now, our God, to be doers of your word. May we not be hearers only. May we not be those who perhaps are eager to study and understand words and logical connections, but then fail when it comes to living it out. We acknowledge how much we need your grace. We cannot obey in our own human strength. We are sinful and weak and so often fail. But we thank you for the promise of your grace. We thank you for the promise of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Oh God, help us to remember and to act, and in all of these things, to bring glory to your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.